My brothers and sisters, the attacks that happened in Paris on Friday night were horrible. Calling it a tragedy doesn't seem to be strong enough. Evil is the only word that is sufficiently powerful in describing what occurred. I'm sure many of us were brought back to September 11th, 2001. Let us remember to pray for those who were killed and their families, and those who were wounded, and all of the people in France and elsewhere who were terrorized by this atrocity. For the victims of these attacks, and many others, there was no indication that their earthly journey was about to end. It's always a possibility for all of us, but it often seems so remote, so foreign to our everyday experience, that we just don't think about it too much. Our church understands this and wisely brings it to our attention in these last weeks of the liturgical year, giving us a chance to focus on the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. The study of these last things is called eschatology, and this weekend's readings begin to point us to the fact that these things are coming. You will die. You will meet our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. He will judge you, and you will take your rightful place in heaven or hell, where you will remain for eternity. This is not a myth. This is not a fairy tale. This is real, and it's coming, perhaps sooner than we think. In her mercy, the church embraces these eschatological realities in these last weeks of the liturgical year to help remind us to pay attention to these things. Now, it seems like we have a fascination with the end of the world. I know that I've watched more than my fair share of apocalyptic movies or doomsday documentaries on the History Channel. Even though I'm usually skeptical of the conclusions and the discoveries that these experts present to us, I'm always interested to see what it is that they think the end of the world will be like and what signs will accompany it. Well, I'm not the only one. In today's gospel, Jesus begins his teaching because of the disciples' fascination with the end times. At first, they were marveling at the grandeur of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Yeah, it's nice, but soon not one of these buildings will remain standing." I imagine that the disciples at that moment turned to each other with one of those "he knows more than he's saying" looks, and they pressed him. "Okay, Lord, well, when will that happen, and what sort of signs will accompany it?" And Jesus answers them, but not necessarily in the way that is completely satisfactory for them or for us. Well, first, there will be persecutions. Then there will be divisions. Then there will be great sacrilege. People will try to flee. False Christs and false prophets will arise. The sun and the moon will darken. The stars will fall from heaven. And then the Son of Man will come in glory and power with the angels, and believers will be saved. But when is still a mystery. Now, the truth is, it doesn't really matter all that much when the end of our world occurs because, well, based on past performance, most of us will expire long before the world does. In which case, the end of the world is almost irrelevant to us, at least in its timing, because our journeys will have already ended. We will have died. We will have been judged. We will have found ourselves invited into the glory of heaven or cast down into the pit of hell. For each of us, these last things are coming, and we need to be ready. Death is inescapable. And for any one of us who have lost loved ones, we know how difficult it can be, how trying a time it is. And yet, as Christians, we also know that death is not the end. It is only the first of the last four things. Now, if we weren't Christians, We wouldn't be talking about four last things. We'd be talking about one last thing, death. That would be it. There would be no hope, nothing greater to expect. But we are Christian, and we do have great hope. Death is a transition from this world of sin and trial and temptation to, we hope, a place of perfection and joy and peace. The journey, dying itself, might be difficult, but the intended destination will surpass our greatest dreams. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. First comes death, and second comes judgment. This is the moment that our entire earthly lives are building toward. We will stand before the throne of God, and He will expose our lives to us. He will show us every good deed that we did, and He'll show us every evil. And as we stand there, He will call us who we truly are, saint or sinner, liar or truth teller, adulterer or faithful spouse, one who hated or one who loved. And when we see who we truly are, when we see the choices that we have made in our earthly lives have turned us either into the person who is ready to be invited into heaven, perhaps with a little stop at purgatory on the way, or the person who, denying God's sovereignty over his life, is ready to be separated from him forever in hell. When we see that, we will then understand that God's judgment is simply our own choice. God doesn't really reward or punish anyone. He simply brings us to where we have chosen to go. If we have spent our lives trying to move closer to him, building a relationship with him in prayer, conforming our lives to his commands, then he will be overjoyed to welcome us into his heavenly kingdom. On the other hand, if we have spent our lives rejecting him, choosing to follow our own path, making ourselves the master and king of our own lives, well, then he will allow us to go to the place where he does not dwell, and we can remain king of our own lives forever. But how sad the lot of those who reject him and never find joy or peace or happiness, but remain alone, miserable, at war with everyone for eternity. As we think about these last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, surely more important than asking when is asking, and how do I ensure that I get to heaven? Well, the best news ever is that you're already on your way. By your baptism, Jesus has given you a share in the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. You didn't do anything to deserve it, but Jesus is so full of love and mercy that he chooses to share heaven with anyone who wants it. And by your participation in the body of Christ, through receiving his divine grace in the sacraments, including baptism, confirmation, penance, and the Holy Eucharist at Mass, you are continued to be strengthened on your journey toward heaven. Jesus expects you there. He's prepared a place for you. He wants to share eternal bliss with you. But your part is to remain faithful to God, following his commandments, participating in the life of the church, and most importantly, building that relationship of love with him in prayer. You're going to mess up at times, doing what he's told you not to do, not doing what he's asked you to do. And when that happens, go to confession. Confess your sins and ask him to restore that promise of heaven to you. His grace will heal you spiritually and strengthen you to continue to follow him. And pray, always pray. Jesus is not some distant king who doesn't know us. God the Father is not an absentee parent who doesn't interact with his children. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit love you so much that they have literally moved heaven and earth to bring you here. In prayer, we come to know God. And while a solid relationship with God helps us throughout our entire lives, it is eminently important on that last day. We don't want to stand before his heavenly throne and meet him for the first time. We want to show up and hear him say, "This is my beloved son or daughter, with whom I am well pleased." Brothers and sisters, we have great hope for the promise of salvation, so that we can spend eternity with God and our loved ones. We're in a perfect position now, poised to grab on to Jesus' promises, propelling us into heaven. Go to Jesus. Go to our Blessed Mother Mary. Ask them today and every day to accompany you and guide you through your journey, through your life on this earth, so that when your day comes and you have to face death, judgment, and heaven or hell, you will be ready, and God our Father will welcome you in triumph into eternity.